We're reading from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Mark this morning. There are so many Bible characters that I love. When I get to heaven, I want to sit by Bartimaeus. I want to sit by Zacchaeus. I want to share a meal with Abraham and Noah and Isaiah. And you do too. And today we're going to learn about Bartimaeus. So let's pray first. We want to thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have the Holy Scriptures. We are so blessed to be able to own Bibles. People around the world would love to have a copy. And either they are forbidden to own them, or there is no copy of the Scriptures in their language. And how we thank you that we have the Bible. We're praying now for understanding. We believe it's inspired and it's been preserved. Now we need it to be enlightening our hearts. And so we ask you for that. We pray that we can be so receptive that we love every drop you put in the cup, and we tremble at the word of God. Help us to esteem your word very highly, we pray, in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we're reading from the 46th verse of Mark chapter 10. And if you can follow along in your Bible, I'm sure you'll gain more by reading the words with your eyes as you hear them with your ears. Mark 10:46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Our attention is directed this morning to the story of Bartimaeus, and particularly to the record God has given us here of Jesus healing his blindness. You know, if we take our Bibles and we begin at the first of Matthew, and we read page after page all the way to the last page of John, we will find, I believe, 30 miracles that the Lord Jesus performed. That's what they tell us. People who read and read and read tell us 30 miracles. Now, very few of the miracles include the name of the person the Lord helped. We think about Lazarus raised from the dead, John chapter 11. And we have Zacchaeus, but that was not a miracle in a physical sense. Salvation is the greatest miracle in the world, and that's what Zacchaeus got, but there was not a physical miracle there. There was no healing there. But Bartimaeus' name is mentioned here. You see it in verse 46, blind Bartimaeus. It's something Mark liked to do. When Mark wrote his gospel, the Holy Spirit took that tendency of Mark to like to tell people who this person is. He does it with Bartimaeus and even tells us Bartimaeus' father's name. His father's name was Timaeus. And we know nothing about them apart from what we read here in Scripture. But I'm going to suggest to you that the readers of the Gospel of Mark knew Bartimaeus. Mark wrote the Gospel and he said, "All of you guys remember Bartimaeus? You met him. You remember his father, Timaeus?" He did it again in chapter 15, where the Lord Jesus, carrying the cross, going out of Jerusalem to the place of crucifixion, halted, and the Romans who were crucifying him stopped the men in the crowd and reached into that crowd of people who had come for the Passover, reached in and latched onto a fellow whose name was Simon of Cyrene. You people that love geography will remember that it's the north coast of Africa, over close to what we call Algeria now. And Simon of Cyrene, a Jew who had come for Passover to Jerusalem, they laid hold on him and said, carry Jesus' cross. And in Mark 15, verse 21, Mark says this, and they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passing by, coming out of the country. And then he says this, the father of Alexander and Rufus. You guys remember Simon of Cyrene? You know his sons, Alexander and Rufus. And Paul does the same thing, because in Romans 16 and 13, verse 13, he says to the Christians at Rome, he says, salute Rufus. Tell him hello for me. He's now living in Rome, and his mother and mine. There are those little personal touches like that. And they're beautiful, aren't they? Bartimaeus was a real person. We're not talking about some metaphorical or allegorical fairy tale. And so here in chapter 10, we find this brief cameo of a blind man healed. It's so easy for us to read these dozen verses, just read through quickly, and not take note of great lessons that are here. I notice here in reading this that there was no need of a big healing crusade. There were no cameras. There was no hypnotic buildup of chanting and cheering crowds. There was no driving beat of drums and rock guitars. There was just a needy man and the all-powerful, sufficient Savior. And the Lord Jesus healed Bartimaeus. Many years ago, George Beverly Shea, some of you will remember hearing that name, he wrote a hymn, and he sang it, and a lot of people sang it. I heard a man sing a duet with himself singing this hymn one time. He had a long play record, put it on the phonogram, and picked up a speaker and held it and sang harmony with his own voice. And he sang this hymn, and this is what it says. One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. The chorus says, when Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. And then I think it's the last verse that says, so men today have found a Savior able. They could not conquer passion, lust, and sin. Their broken hearts had left them sad and lonely. Then Jesus came and dwelt himself within. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. So this is a simple story here. The Lord Jesus healing a man of his blindness. I want to call your attention to several headings this morning. I want to call your attention to the ears of Bartimaeus. I have a tendency to think about his eyes. Let me redirect our attention to his ears. How often we meet someone who has learned to overcome the loss of one of the five senses. Bartimaeus lost his sight. We don't know how, we don't know when. And so he depended on his ears. He listened. He listened closely. He listened to learn. He listened to receive truth. His ears alerted him on this day to the most important event of his life. Jesus was passing by. I've been thinking about Bartimaeus' ears. Why should he have any interest in Jesus passing by? It was more than the crowd. It was more than the hundreds, possibly thousands of feet he could hear walking, pacing, running, shuffling along in front of him. It was more than that. Because you see, his ears had already been at work. He knew who Jesus was. He knew about him. He'd heard about him. John Bunyan wrote a book called The Holy War, and in it he describes man as though we were a city. Five gates, the feel gate, the smell gate, the touch gate, the eye gate, the ear gate. And in the book he tells how that Captain Faith came to the ear gate and preached the gospel, and it went into Mr. Recorder's house. and eventually settled into the citadel of the heart. So I want to suggest to you this morning that Bartimaeus, sitting by the roadside, heard about Jesus. There's no mention of a cup, so I'm suggesting that he held out his hand and possibly called out, "Alms for the blind! Alms for the blind! Can you help the poor blind man?" And he extended his hand, and from time to time, someone would put a coin in his hand. His sense of touch was such that he could tell that it was a real coin and the size of it and its worth, the weight of it. And would you let me, for a moment, tell you a story that I think happened? I think he had a friend. Maybe it was a childhood friend. Let's give him the name Amos. They grew up together, and somewhere along the way, Bartimaeus lost his sight. But Amos didn't forget him. And as he would go out to the fields to work in the morning, he'd call out to Bart. He'd call out to Bartimaeus and say, "Good morning. It's a lovely day today. I'll talk to you on the way home." And when he came home from the fields, he might sit down with Bartimaeus and talk to him. You know, Bartimaeus could have had a lonely existence if it were not for friends like Amos. And as Amos sat there, Bartimaeus could say to him, "What's happening? What's going on? What do you hear? I can't see anything, but I want to know." And so one day, Amos told him that there was a prophet who had come. And as he preached out by the Jordan River and baptized people, many, many people from all over Israel came to be baptized of John the Baptist. And Amos said to him one day, "I was there when he told about someone greater coming, someone whose shoes latchet I'm not worthy to undo, someone that will not baptize with water, but will baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost." Bartimaeus said, "Who do you think that is?" And Amos said, "Well, I can tell you that John the Baptist saw him and called out to everyone and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.'" Bartimaeus begins to think about this person who is the Lamb, person greater than John the prophet. John the Baptist said, "He is greater than I am. He came after me, but he is before me." And Bartimaeus is thinking about all this. And so with his ears, he begins to gather up every little detail he can hear. Someone else stops and talks with him one day. And he says to them, "Have you heard of this prophet that John the Baptist speaks about?" And this person said, "Yes. His name is Jesus of Nazareth." And Bartimaeus stored that away. He says to this man, to this stranger, or to another, "What is he like? Where does he work? Where does he live? Where does he walk?" And the answers began to come in. And little by little, Bartimaeus is gathering up this information. He's taking it in the ear gate. You know, the Bible says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We could even say it, faith cometh through the ear gate. And he gathered it up. His eyes were blind, but his ears could hear. Bartimaeus, hearing ears. As he listened to what people said, he heard about the miracles of Jesus. He heard about the teachings of Jesus. He heard about the opposition the Lord Jesus was facing from religious leaders. And Bartimaeus asked questions, and he thought about the answers. And I'm wondering this morning if that was where hope began. Hope began. Did he reason, if all this is true, that I am hearing of Jesus of Nazareth, then it means there's hope for the hopeless. And there's help for the helpless. And when he hears of the lame healed and the blind and lepers and the deaf and the dead raised, those conclusions grow stronger and stronger as he begs by the wayside. So they're the ears of Bartimaeus. Those ears came to their best use of all, when one day the shuffling of feet by him caused him to reach out into the crowd and grab someone's coattail and say, "What's happening? What's going on here? What's all the commotion? Why are all these people walking by? What's happening here?" And one of them said, "Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." And that's when we come to the voice of Bartimaeus. And you see that here in the text. I love the text here where it says to us in verse 47, "And when he heard," there are his ears, "when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth," here is his voice, "he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" The voice of Bartimaeus. Notice that he cried out repeatedly. Because in verse 48, many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And he lifted up his voice. He cried out repeatedly. Did you know, dear folks, there's a sad part to this verse. It says that many charged him that he should remain silent. It says there, it's like commanding him to be quiet. "Shush! Don't make a ruckus. Be quiet. What are you doing crying out? Hold your peace." Did you know, dear friends, that this resistance to an inquirer has been common in churches? Time immemorial, there are people who discourage others from calling out to the Lord. That has to be one of the saddest facts of history. I don't understand why Christians, why followers of Jesus, were the 12 among these who cried out to, or who called out to Bartimaeus, "Be quiet"? Were there among those disciples, did they have some motive? Was there an agenda? Were they saying, "Don't bother Jesus, he's too busy. He's on his way to Jerusalem, he's got big things in mind. Be quiet, you." But it happens. It has to be one of the saddest things in the world that there are religious people, even followers of Jesus, that discourage inquirers from being saved. So he cried out repeatedly. His vocal cords acted on what he had heard. He'd taken in truth about Jesus. He'd pondered this truth. He meditated upon it. His mind and heart thought it over. He came to some important conclusions. If ever I have opportunity to ask Jesus to heal me, I will. And here is his golden opportunity. He would not be silenced. Now his words are of great interest to us. Did you notice that there is a personal appeal in verse 47? Jesus. He calls out to him by his personal name. There is a thoughtful appeal. "Thou son of David. Thou son of David." We read that and we think about the Lord Jesus being a descendant of the kingly line of David. And we think about that, but we don't think about it deeply enough, because if we realized what he was saying, we would understand that he's saying, "I think you are the Messiah. I think you are the promised Savior. I think you're the one that is to rule over Israel. I think you are the Redeemer. I think you're the one that is the great hope of mankind that was promised, Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman. I think you're the son of the Virgin Mother." And all of that comes out in that phrase, "Thou son of David," he cries out to the Lord Jesus. It's beautiful to see that in Scripture. In Matthew chapter 1, in the first verse, Matthew's gospel opens with these words, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." So Matthew's gospel starts off by saying Jesus is the Messiah. In Matthew chapter 12 and verses 22 and 23, someone brought to the Lord Jesus one possessed of a devil, of a demon, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, "Is not this the son of David?" This has to be the Messiah. In Matthew chapter 15, behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Here's a Gentile in a distant city who, when the Lord Jesus comes there, she addresses him as the anointed Savior from God. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, and the Lord Jesus freed the girl from that terrible oppression. When the Lord Jesus came to Jerusalem in the triumphal entry, Matthew chapter 21, it says here, the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And in verse 15, when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple. The children were not weeping in their handkerchiefs, dear folks. They were shouting for joy, crying in the temple. It says that the religious leaders said that they were displeased because they heard the children saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. In Matthew 22, verse 42, the Lord Jesus asked the religious leaders, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And they tripped over their own tongues when they said, he's the Son of David. And that's who Jesus is. And so Bartimaeus' appeal to Christ was a personal appeal and a thoughtful appeal, but it was a sincere and urgent, it was even a desperate appeal. Have mercy on me, he cries out to the Lord. You know what, dear friends, you know what mercy is. Mercy is so different from grace. Mercy is God not doing to us what we deserve. Can I suggest to you that Bartimaeus is saying, Lord, I brought this on myself. I deserve to be blind. Whatever it was that caused this affliction, I received it rightfully. But would you have mercy on me? Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. Mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. And so Bartimaeus cries out to the Lord and he said, Lord, would you have mercy on me? I deserve this, but would you have mercy on me? And when they would silence him, he would not be silent. I love what he says when the Lord Jesus asks him in verse 51. He comes to Jesus and Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou? What is your will? What are you asking for? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. We need to learn what Bartimaeus knew. We need to learn to ask big. We need to learn to ask accurately. The verse in James chapter 4 that says, you have not because you ask not. I believe it's chapter 4, or chapter 4, or chapter 5. You have not because you ask not. Bartimaeus had the opportunity to ask, and so he asked. The voice of Bartimaeus. But then look in verse 50, because in the 50th verse we see his hands. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. The hands of Bartimaeus, he cast away his garment. Now, in all likelihood, Bartimaeus had never seen the garment that he wore because he was blind. He had no idea how dirty it was, or possibly he could feel how tattered it was along the edges, along the ends of the sleeves, and the hem of his garment. He may have been able to tell how tattered it was, but he couldn't see. But it did represent his life as a beggar and as a blind man. And so with his hands, he threw it aside. I see something significant there. I think there is a picture here of turning from the old life. I'm finished with that. This is all over. There's an element of faith there. Because as he cast away his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. In our day, we see from time to time someone who's blind. When I was a little boy, we had a number of people in our town, men in our town, that had war wounds and came home missing a leg or an eye or an arm. And they sat on the street and they had a hat and they had pencils in the hat. And people would throw coins in their hat and take a pencil. And I used to, my heart was so touched. And I would say to Mom, can I have a coin? Can I have a coin? I wanted to give them something. Those were beggars. They had no way. You know, in those days, there was no such thing as welfare. Those things didn't exist in the 1940s, the late 40s and 50s. But I see Bartimaeus here casting away his garment as a way of indicating, I'm finished with this life. It's all over. I'll never be a beggar again. In our day, we might think of a man taking his white cane and breaking it over his knee, or loosing the harness of his seeing eye dog and saying, you're free, Fido, you can go. I won't be needing you anymore. Or taking the cup, the tin cup, and throwing it over his shoulder. I'll never have to beg again, because that life is gone. The hands of Bartimaeus. I think that casting that aside is a mark to us of his confidence in Christ. But in that same verse, in verse number 50, we see the feet of Bartimaeus. He, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Came with confidence. Were there some that once, just a moment or two ago, were saying to him, be quiet, who said, here, I'll help you. Come with me to Jesus. Or did he feel his way among the people, looking for a pathway open to the Lord Jesus? His feet carried him to Jesus. His heart compelled his feet to take him to Jesus. Now that's so simple, isn't it? Isn't that a simple story? Because you have his ears, and you have his voice, and you have his hands, and you have his feet. But I left one out, didn't I? What did I leave out? I really left his eyes out. And that's the most important. The sightless eyes of Bartimaeus. Can I tell you that whenever we look at the miracles that the Lord Jesus performed, we need to look at them at two levels. There's a superficial level. Please don't think that I'm diminishing the importance of physical health. I'm not. But there's a superficial level where we only look at the body being made well. And that's wonderful, isn't it? We look at that. We think about Jesus really, truly making sick people well. And we rejoice with him. His power to do so is infinite. His wisdom is beyond our understanding. But that's the superficial level. There's a deeper level. And this is what we miss with the miracles. There's a level that has to do with spiritual reality. What really belongs to the heart. Each miracle the Lord Jesus performed revealed some desperate need of man for God to work within him. Just as men were deaf to the sound waves of the world around them, and Jesus healed their hearing, just so are all men deaf to the Word of God ministered to their heart by the Holy Spirit until they believe, and then their ears are open. Suddenly we begin to understand what God says in his word, and our hearing is made right. Just as men are lame, were lame in Bible times, unable to serve God, they needed the use of their feet restored. How we love those examples in Scripture. Isn't the example in Acts chapter 3 such a beautiful example? Where here's a man who's lame from birth. You think about the atrophy of the muscles and the tendons and the joints, and that they had never worked. He had never been able to walk, lame from birth. Peter and John walked by him into the beautiful gate of the temple at the time of prayer. And as they walked by, he looks at them like, do you have a gift for me? Begging at the gate of the temple. And Peter says, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And immediately his ankle bones received strength. And leaping and walking, he went into the temple with them. Stop and think about that. The physical miracle is absolutely wonderful. Dr. Luke writes it down with detail in the Acts of the Apostles. And I love what one brother said. He said, you know, when the Lord repairs the hardware, he repairs the software too. This is a man that's never walked. He's never known what it is to stand up at full height and have a sense of balance. He's never known what it is for the muscles of each foot and each leg to move the bones and the tendons and all of those fine bones of the feet to work in their proper order and to be able to carry his body forward. And he not only walks and leaps, but when you get into the chapter a little further, it says he held Peter and John. I don't think that was a hug. I think he picked them up off the ground. Now, I'm just a little boy in an old man's body, but I'm telling you that I really believe that this fellow was so, his body, his feet and ankle bones were so transformed that you would have said, this can't be the same guy. That's the way God works. And I have to tell you, dear friends, that though those physical miracles are wonderful and we give thanks to God that he did those things, so today men are crippled in the service of God and have no strength to walk the paths of righteousness, to follow the leading of the Lord. Spiritually speaking, we are blind and deaf and dumb and crippled and leprous. We're dead in trespasses and sins in our hearts. That's the way we are. And it takes the work of God through his word, by his son, to work in our hearts, to change us and give life to these lifeless old souls and spirits and bodies of ours. Bartimaeus, whose eyes could not see what God had made for men to see, had his sight restored. And so do men today go through life blind to all that God is doing, all that God wants to do, all that he wonderfully can do. Men are blind to those, except they hear the gospel. There's a conclusion. There's some applications we need. We suffer. You and I suffer with blindness of heart and mind. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this miracle. One or two of the others tell us that there were two blind men there. I feel that I've sat with Bartimaeus. I've begged with Bartimaeus, blind and beggarly, till Jesus passed by. We all suffer from blindness of heart and mind. Did you know the Bible actually says that? It tells us, and I'm going to ask you to turn to it because I wanted to include a verse in my notes that I didn't include, so let's go and look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Some of you know these verses by memory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. The scripture says this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, if it's covered, if it's occluded, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, notice that word God there has a little g on it. It's talking about the usurper, the devil. In whom the God of this world, not the God of eternity, not the God of the universe, the God who hopes to rule the men that live in this world, the God of this world hath done what? Blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them. Men's hearts and minds are blind until they hear and believe. But I heard of Jesus. I know this morning that many of you have told us that you know the Lord, that you believed and you're saved. And it'd be wonderful, you know, to go to a church service where 100% everybody there was saved. The Lord knows our hearts, doesn't he? But I'm going to tell you something. Those of you who are saved had your eyes opened because your ears heard. Your eyes were opened because your ears heard the story of Jesus. You heard that the Lord Jesus gives hope to the hopeless and help to the helpless. You heard that he can heal the blindness of heart and mind. That's how you came to see the truth of God's word. Many people are spiritually blind. I can tell someone, see what this verse says here? This says that Jesus will save those that believe, and they say, I can't see it. Or they'll say, I can't see why you believe that. Or I can't see what's wrong with this. What's wrong with that? I can't see that anything's wrong with that. Do you see how they're confessing their blindness? I can't see why anyone should have to do that. Isn't it in the Bible? I can't see that. And they're telling us, I'm blind. I can't see. But when the hearing of the ears come, when the gospel comes in the ear gate and is registered in Mr. Recorder's house and settles down to the citadel of the heart, and they're converted, then they say, I see. I see. It's true, isn't it? It's really true. It was true all the time. And I never saw it. We knew a man in Cairns who I believe trusted the Lord before we knew him. And after he was converted, he went up to Coa. You know where it is? He went up to Coa and he went to some Christians that he had worked for. And he said, I've gotten saved. I said, that's good. He said, why didn't you ever tell me? They said, we did. No, you didn't. They said, yes, we did. Do you remember those times we sat at our dining table and you had meals with us and we opened the Bible? He said, no. Well, they said, we showed you how to be saved. We told you about Jesus. No, I don't remember that. You know why? Because his eyes were blind. But they kept on telling him. And others kept on telling him. Until it came in the ear gate. Faith cometh by hearing. Bartimaeus by the roadside, blind and begging, heard that it was Jesus passing by and took advantage of the opportunity because he'd already heard. And he accessed the help the Lord could give him. I heard about the Lord Jesus in Sunday school. I thank the Lord for Mrs. Lane that was my Sunday school teacher. Look forward to being in heaven and telling her thank you for telling me about the Lord. I thank the Lord for my dear mother that in the afternoons, Dad was at work, Mom would say, let's lie down and have a rest. And then she'd take a Bible storybook, and I still remember some of the pictures in Hurlbut's Bible storybook, and she would read to me out of that, and I was beginning to hear. I wasn't saved for years, but I was storing away those truths in there. More and more hearing, receiving it. Some of you told me of gospel tracts that someone gave you or read to you, and you saw and you heard, and the Lord used that to open the doors of your heart, and you pondered over what you heard until you cried out for mercy. The world and the devil and the flesh will tell you to be silent. Don't ask. Don't pray. Don't seek to be saved. The world with its pressures and the devil with his subtlety and his craftiness and the desires of the flesh all say, shush, don't ask. But I heard and I cried out and the Lord heard me and healed my blindness. So it is for everyone who cries out to Jesus for mercy. Do you know how you can tell when someone has heard and they've sincerely cried out, and the Lord has healed their blindness? They have a desire to follow Jesus in the way. And that's what we find there in that last verse of chapter 10 in Mark. And Jesus said unto him, to Bartimaeus, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Followed Jesus in the way. I can see Bartimaeus standing there when the Lord says to him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Bartimaeus says, well, my way is no longer begging. I'm not a blind man by the roadside trying to get enough to have food to live. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I will follow him in the way. And you know what is such a blessing? Is that when they get to Jerusalem and they come to the triumphal entry, and the Lord Jesus borrows a donkey, a foal of an ass, And they put garments on the donkey, and they put the Lord Jesus on the donkey, and he ascends out of the valley of the Kidron up into Jerusalem, and people cry out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Son of David? And whose voice was loudest among all those? Oh, I'd be surprised if it wasn't Bartimaeus. In fact, he may have taught them what to say. A new convert following Jesus saying, Hosanna to the highest, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to the Son of David. Just so it is. I wonder how many of you this morning are thinking about the time when you were converted and you say, I know what it's like to sit by life's highway begging and blind, and Jesus passed by. And I cried out to him, and he saved me. You know, I have the advantage of you folks. You have to sit there in the pew and look at one old man standing in the pulpit. I get to stand up here and look at all of you. And as I do, as I look around the congregation, the Lord said, you remember how Lynette got saved? You remember when Bianca got saved? Do you remember when Norm and Sheila came to the Lord? Do you remember when Fred and Rosa got saved? Do you remember hearing how Merlin got saved? Do you remember hearing about Karen and Tracy? Do you know about Zach? Do you remember those? And every time your biography pops up on my screen, I think about how great it is to know the Lord Jesus. Isn't it marvelous? We really don't have anything better to say at Grace Baptist Church than to say that Jesus is the all-sufficient Savior for every man. Would you believe we're only 1 minute past 12? You say, Pastor, you're slipping. Well, I'm not quite through. I've got to tell you, this is the same city where Zacchaeus the rich man was saved and Bartimaeus the poor man was saved. They both gave up something. Bartimaeus left his garment behind. But what did he gain? Zacchaeus left half of his wealth behind and all the repayments he had to make. But what did he gain? What does it cost you to come to Jesus? Nothing. He paid it all. That's what our hymnal says. It's true. What does it cost you to come to Jesus? Absolutely everything. You genuinely come to trust in Christ, you'll say nothing in this world is worth anything compared to him. And so Zacchaeus and Bartimaeus, opposite ends of the social scale, the economic scale, both came to the Lord Jesus in simple faith. It applies to everybody. Between Zacchaeus and Bartimaeus, the whole world is full of people. We all have the same access to the same Savior. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the beautiful stories of those that Jesus loved and helped. He said in the verse prior to these verses that he didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And we thank you for that. We thank you for his ministry to these people and to ourselves. Oh, Lord, help every one of us to cry out without ceasing, no matter who would hinder, family, friends, enemies. Oh, Lord, help us to cry out until we have the Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.